Aren't you thankful this Thanksgiving Sunday that he didn't give his heart to us in just a little bit here and a little bit there, in pieces, that he gave his all for us? One of the little kind of silly little things I like to do, but it serves as a reminder of how we should be thankful and grateful to the Lord, is each Thanksgiving, I just like simply going through the alphabet, saying a letter and having you folks in the congregation call out something that you're thankful for that begins with that letter. And so we're going to do that again today. I would ask you, as much as possible, it might be difficult, you know, in some areas, and I understand, but as much as possible, let's focus on the giver of the blessings and not so much on the blessing. So when I call out the letter, if you can, give me an attribute or quality or characteristic of God that you're thankful for. Okay? So let's go through the alphabet. Okay? A.
Almighty.
Okay, good, good. The rest of you are stone cold silent, but that we'll warm you up here shortly. B. Blessing, beloved, beauty, okay. C. Good, good. D. Deliverer, I'm sorry, divine. Okay, good, good. E. Everlasting, good, good, good. This is harder than it looks. A, B, C, D, E, F. F. Okay, all right, not bad, not bad. G. there it goes. Uh-huh, okay. H. Okay, holy. D, F, G, H, I. Intercessors, okay, good, good. What else? Ignite, which we will not be holding this week because it's on Thanksgiving Eve. Nice segue there. Thank you, Janice. speaking of things we're thankful for, Jay, I'm thankful for Janice's husband, aren't you? Jay. Jesus, Jehovah, yes, yeah, yes. K. I'm sorry? Kindness, okay, good, good. L. Okay. Okay. M. Mighty. Okay. All right. N. Okay. All right. O. Omnipotent. Oh boy, we got a theologian in the crowd. Omnipresent, all those omnis, that's what God is, yeah, yeah. P, perfect, powerful, yes, yeah, peaceful. Q, yeah, which is kind of what I'm getting right now, a lot of quiet, but we'll do the best we can. R, redeemer, righteous, good, good. S, Savior. I'm sorry? Okay, okay. Okay, okay. T. Trinity. Truth, trustworthy, okay. U. Okay, okay, all right. Okay. Okay. V. There you go. Victory in Jesus. W. Thank you. Now think of a W one. Yes, he is wonderful. Shouldn't kid about that. Yes, he is wonderful. He's wise. Thank you. He is worthy. He is worthy. X. Thank you for that wonderful praise, and we'll all chip in and send you to grammar school or spelling school. Thank you. Yes, yes. That's, X is a hard one. X is a hard. Anything I could think of during the first service, I'm so thankful he didn't X us out of his heart and life, but he came and There you go. Yeah. Why? Yahweh. Good, 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 good. Okay. Yeah. Good. And finally, Z. Zealous. I like that. I like that. Yeah. The reason we do that little exercise every Thanksgiving is because I just want to, just as a little reminder, that from A to Z, we have reasons to thank the Lord. And we as Christians have specific reasons to thank the Lord. And one of the attributes or one of the names of Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega. And that's just the Greek from the first letter to the last letter. And so it just seems appropriate that we just kind of go through the alphabet and remind ourselves of why we should be thankful. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6 is our sermon scripture today. We're going to be looking at the 25th through the 34th verses. Matthew 6, 25 through 34. Jesus has just given a discourse on having a divided heart, if you will, and why our hearts must be given solely to Him. And if we allow other things into our heart, they're going to steal from the devotion that He alone deserves. And just prior to this scripture, He was talking about money, for instance, and if we become lovers of money, that can cause some problems in our spiritual life. And then he goes on from there to talk about what we're going to talk about in verse 25. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And that's a rhetorical question that you know the answer to. The answer is no. No one can add a single hour to their lives by worrying. And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that's how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today, and tomorrow's thrown into the fire, will He not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. May the Lord add understanding to the reading of His word. As I said just prior to this scripture, Jesus said that nobody can serve two masters. You're going to end up serving the one and hating or resenting the other. And then He goes on to a discourse about worry, because one of the points He is making is that if we worry, if we let worry dominate our thinking, we're not going to be thankful. Because, have you ever stopped to think about this? Those two elements in your life cannot coexist. Worry and thankfulness, they don't go together. You cannot put them together. You can have one or you can have the other, but you cannot truly have both. Because thankfulness arises, it springs out of trust. If you trust God, that's going to chase away the worry. If you decide you're going to worry about things, that's going to crowd out the trust that we're to have for God. Those two qualities, those two characteristics, cannot coexist. At the same time, you cannot worry and you cannot be thankful. Now, I didn't intend, when I sat down and started on this sermon a while back, I didn't intend to talk about worry. And I still don't really want to make that the focus of the sermon, except to say that if you find yourself worrying constantly, if that's your normal state, then I want to urge you to consider your spiritual walk and your spiritual life. Because if worry is your normal state, you cannot be thankful. Because thankfulness doesn't come from an absence of things to worry about. True thankfulness comes from that foundation of trust, which always will be at odds with worry. Yesterday, I was mulling over some things in the morning, and I was concerned about a particular something in the morning. And then without me ever lifting a hand, God resolved it. God just took it away, took it right off the table. And that concern I had, yes, I'm going to say that I wasn't really worried about it because I was giving it over to the Lord, but that possibility was there. That was just taken away. And I thought, well, thank you, Lord. Now there's nothing on my mind that I'm concerned about. And within about 20 minutes, I was talking to someone and something popped up. And I thought, okay, better be concerned about that. Going to have to deal with that. What I'm trying to say is there will always be things to be concerned about. There will always be things potentially to worry about. But again, I say to you, you cannot have a heart that is divided. A heart that is worrying will not be a heart that is trusting. So I want to go through the scripture this morning that we just read and see how we're to be thankful and how we should not worry. Jesus makes some big sweeping statements in this scripture. One of the biggest is found right off the bat. Therefore, he says, I say to you, do not worry about your life. Do not worry about your life. That's about as big a broad a statement as you can have. How many of you? Now that, he doesn't say, I suggest to you that you don't worry. He doesn't say it is possible for you not to worry. He says, I say to you, don't worry. That's a command. How many of you live a worry-free life? I'm sorry. Wait a minute. Let me clean my glasses. It doesn't look like anybody's raising their hand, okay? We are to live lives that are not dominated by worry. Jesus commands that. But yet, how far we fall short of that. And then he goes on to give some particulars. Because as the people that heard him speaking, heard him say that, they're probably thinking, well, okay, well, I'm concerned about this. I don't know where my next meal's coming from. I'm concerned about this. You know, I don't have much money in my pocket. I'm concerned about these things. And so he goes on to say, you know, don't worry about what we'll eat. Don't worry about what we'll drink. Don't worry about our bodies. Don't worry about the clothes we wear. He said, life is made up of more than those things. Worry does not have an off switch. If you get past one thing on your mind, something else will move right in to take its place. There will never, ever, ever. I'm not trying to make you feel down today. My purpose in this sermon is to uplift you by the end of it. But I am saying there will never be in your life an absence of things to potentially worry about. It's just not going to happen. That's not the way life is. And back in Jesus' time, life was much more tenuous. Finding provisions, having enough just to survive, it wasn't a sure thing. If it didn't rain for a long period of time back then, people wouldn't eat. It'd be much more than prices just going up slightly at the grocery store. The pilgrims, I'm so in awe of their faith. They understood that. Their first year in the country, more than half of them died. And those that were left, I told you this, I've been telling you this and giving this example last year. Those pilgrims that survived, their existence was so tenuous when they first landed here, their daily ration of food was 5 kernels of corn. Not 5 ears of corn, 5 kernels of corn. That is all they had every day. But yet they had a dinner of thanksgiving. A dear, dear friend of mine passed away yesterday. I've mentioned her before, both her and her sister. They were retired colonels in the Air Force. They ran the Caddis Food Pantry, the Harrison County Food Pantry. They basically started it. And that food pantry fed literally thousands of people a month. Thousands of people a month. Numerous times, especially in the early years, numerous times they didn't know where the funds were going to come in. They didn't know how they were going to be able to get enough food in there to feed all those people that were literally relying on them for food. And they would come to me and they would say, let's pray. We need to be praying about this. And I could just imagine the pressure that they were under of all these people needing food. And they distributed it once a week. And they would always say to me, even though they made sure we need to pray about this, they would always say, Richard, we're trusting. The Lord is going to provide. And the Lord always did provide. The Lord always did provide. And in a dark time in that county, particularly back around 2008 when the crash hit, and I'm telling you, people depended upon that food pantry. Those elderly sisters kept it going, kept it running, and they fed so many people. I spoke her, the lady that passed away, her name was Betty, and I spoke with Betty periodically, and one of the last times I spoke with her was a week ago. She was in critical care in the hospital, critical care, and ICU. She had tubes down her throat. She could not really communicate well at all, particularly over the phone. Her sister-in-law called me because she said, Betty just wants to hear your voice. How touching is that? And so I was praying with her over the phone, and then she began to scratchily try and communicate with me. And I couldn't tell what she was saying over the phone, you know. And so I called out to her sister-in-law, and I said, Donna, I'm sorry, I can't understand her. And she said, let me translate for you. I'm right here in front of her. Let me translate for you. And what Betty was trying to tell me, she started reciting names. She was giving me names. And I realized as she got past the first couple of names, she's giving me names of people to pray for. She is in intensive care. She is dying. And she is passing along names for me to pray for. Such a woman of trust. Such a woman of faith. Such a woman who was always so thankful for what God provided. That's my little tribute to her. I wanted to share that with you today. Several times here, Jesus asks, what good does worry do? What good does worry do? Maybe that should be our call and response here today. Let me ask you a question, and take this seriously, okay? Take this seriously before you think about replying. I ask you that question. What good does worry do? What good does it do? And the answer is it doesn't do any good. But we still are so determined sometimes to worry. And again, I say to you, the further we are from the heart of the Lord, the more we will fill that vacuum in our own hearts by worrying about things that may be beyond our control. Now, rarely is it good enough just to say you shouldn't do that without replacing it with something else, without telling us how to refrain from doing that negative thing, in this case, not to worry, but to have an attitude of thanksgiving. And Jesus provides that. He says, here's his antidote to worry. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. So the answer to worry, the answer, the way to live a thankful life is to first seek the kingdom of God. Jesus did not say that we shouldn't be concerned about a variety of things, but that our primary concern is always to be Him, is to be the Lord.
We live in this world, and we're to be aware of what's going on. But first is the Lord. And when He is first in our hearts and minds and focus, the worry will dissipate. On Thanksgiving, a family was sitting around the table looking at the annual holiday bird. And from the oldest to the youngest, they were to express their thanks. Well, they came to the five-year-old in the family, and he began by looking at the turkey and expressing his thanks for the turkey, saying although he hadn't tasted it, he knew it'd be good. And then the child began to go down the line. He thanked his mother for cooking a turkey. He thanked his father for buying the turkey. But he went way beyond that. He said, among other things, I thank the checker at the grocery store who checked out the turkey. I thank the grocery store people who put it on the shelf. I thank the farmer who made it fat. I thank the man who made the feed. I thank those who brought the turkey to the store. And finally, after he'd gone on and on and on for several minutes, the five-year-old said, did I leave anybody out? And his little brother, who was kind of embarrassed by how his brother had prattled on, looked at him and said, God, God. And the five-year-old, without a moment's hesitation, said, well, I was just getting to him. I was just getting to him. And that is a good question for us, not only at Thanksgiving, but every day. When are we going to get to God? Or are we just going to get to God at you know, thanking Him in a pro forma way at the end of a long list of other things that we've been thankful for? We should be thankful to God. Putting God first is the antidote to worry, and it's the path to praise and thankfulness. And when we do that, He promises, oh, this is such a wonderful promise, He promises that our daily needs are added to or given to us. The more we know God, the more we will trust God, the more thankful we will be. Those are attributes that always go together. Growing closeness to God, growing trust in God, less worry, more thankfulness. Those things always come to us as a bundle of gifts from God when we draw close to Him. And who really, truly, at the end of it, would not want to live that way? Who truly does not want to have a life of intimacy with God? Who truly does not want to have a life that is free from the scourge of worry? Who truly doesn't want to have a life that is characterized by thankfulness and gratitude? Thankfulness and gratitude, it's such a winsome quality. It's a quality that is so attractive and such a wonderful endorsement of the faith that we claim to have. We cannot say, it just cancels out our witness when we say, oh, I love Jesus. I love Jesus and I trust Jesus. Boy, I wonder where my next meal's coming from. Boy, I'm so worried about what's going to happen tomorrow. Those two things don't go together. When we trust, when we love God, when we draw close to God, we trust God more, the thankfulness will increase and the worry will dissipate. If we wait until we have an absence of problems to thank God, it will never, ever happen. It'll never happen. That's unrealistic. Instead, by seeking God first, God gives us the right attitude in the midst of life, and that attitude is one of thankfulness. I am so in awe and so amazed at the Pilgrim's Outlook. So many of them came here for religious purposes, of religious freedom. They wanted to be able to worship freely. Their lives were so tenuous, but they took time in the midst of their, I mean, they literally lived from hand to mouth. It was so tenuous, but they took time in the midst of that to thank God. They could have been caught up in where their next meal was coming from, but they took time to thank God. A man went to his rabbi, and he was complaining about the crowded conditions in his home. He said, Rabbi, there are 8 people crowded into this tiny little space that's this apartment that we have, and the man asked the rabbi for advice. The rabbi said, go outside and bring your goat in. Bring your goat inside. Well, the man thought that was pretty stupid advice, but since he had asked, he decided to follow out the advice, and so he brought the goat into the crowded house. Well, a week later, he came back to the rabbi and said, Rabbi, we are miserable. The goat stinks. It makes a mess.
By the way, I offended J.R. when I said that this morning. But the man came back to the rabbi and said, the goat stinks, it makes a mess. We're more miserable than we've ever been. And the rabbi said, put the goat back out of the house. And the rabbi saw the man a week later, and he asked how things were. And the man replied, things are so great. With that goat out of the house, it's so much better. The place smells better, feels like we have so much more room. The man had learned to be thankful for what he had. Again, true thankfulness, true trust, comes from drawing closer to God and realizing in a more profound way who God is, that God loves you and he will provide for you just as a loving father provides for his children. And Jesus said, your heavenly Father, he knows your needs. He knows your needs. He knows you need all these things, and he'll take care of you. He'll provide them when you put him first. So this Thursday, I say to you, be thankful. Come to the dinner table thankful. Thankful for your many blessings. Thankful for the meal that's in front of you. Thankful for your family. But understand, Christian, what you truly have in Christ, and be thankful. You, above all people in this world, have so much to be thankful for. You have forgiveness of your sins. You have the greatest possible future. If you're struggling now, know it will not last forever. If you're looking for a better day, it's coming. You have his promise that he is with you. You have his promise that he is for you. You have his promise that he will go ahead of you. You have his promise that he will never leave you. And you have his promise that he will come back for you. Those are the ingredients for a happy Thanksgiving. Folks, God's got you covered. God has got you covered. And we can be thankful. Leave your worries at the feet of the cross. And know that God has your back. And know, I loved Margaret's testimony this morning. You know, we were struggling, and I was saying the right things, but now I know God will provide. I know God will take care of us. God will give you that faith. God will give you that assurance. God will give you that trust. And as God is sliding that and crowding that into your heart, there won't be room for worry. There won't be room for overwhelming doubt. Instead, you can live a life of joy and peace and true thankfulness. Wasn't planning on ending things this way this morning, but I'm going to. Everybody, close your eyes and bow your heads, please. Nobody looking around, nobody looking at what your neighbor's doing or anything. How many of you would say, Pastor, I struggle with worry. I am struggling with this situation. I'm struggling with whatever it might be. And you don't need to tell me this, you know this, but you might say, Pastor, I am not feeling very thankful. Because I'm struggling with the worries and cares of this world. Just raise your hand if that describes you. Raise your hand. God bless all the many of you who have raised your hands. And now I say to you, Jesus would not give a command and then just drop it. He would not say, don't worry about your life, and then just move on. And he's saying, don't worry about your life. Seek first the kingdom of God, and then things will begin to fall into place. And so, my brothers and sisters here today, and I say this with a heart full of God's compassion and God's love for you, you need not live like that. If you want to have a true Thanksgiving, not just this Thursday, but every single day of your life, an attitude of trust, an attitude of abiding in Christ, that is possible. And you can have a life that reflects the joy and the peace that he will give. And so today, I simply say the altar is open and the invitation is given as our worship leaders will come. Jesus says, I say to you, do not worry about your life, but live a life of consistent and constant thankfulness. Not that you will ever have a life that is devoid of things to worry about, but you can have a life that is characterized by thankfulness. Today the altar is open and today the invitation is given to live the life that Christ died to give you, the life that is full of gratitude, the life that is full of trust. The altar is open and the invitation given. What a great future your children have. And what better future could we have? In my Father's house, there's a place for me. I'm a child of God. Oh, Lord, help us to stack up what we have against our worries and realize that what we have far overwhelms what we have to worry about. And so, Lord, help us to turn to you in trust and in assurance, Lord, knowing that that which we have given to you, which we have committed to you, you will keep until that day. So, Lord, we leave from here with our hearts joyful. We leave here today with our hearts light. We leave here today truly thankful. And I pray, Lord, a blessed Thanksgiving for everyone. But may every day be a day of thanksgiving when we understand and reflect on what you have done for us. We love you. We praise you. In Jesus' name. Amen.